But he was able to display the scars. I don't know why that's always occurred to me as like something interesting. Maybe it's not so interesting. Maybe by now they've healed over, you know. But they're going to say to him, where did you receive these marks? And these are the marks I received in the house of my friends. It's a prophecy. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, verse 11 says. Oh, yeah, that's right. False prophets are rising. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. You know, when you just look up prophecy on the internet, type in prophecy. Prophecy. That's what we're going to do, the book of Revelation. And for many of you, it will, if many of you, for the few of you, for the three or four of you who actually listen to these studies, you're going to get an initiation into Bible prophecy like you have never gotten before. Cutting through all the nonsense of these other people who have no business. Except, they have business. It's the business of Satan. It's the prophecy of the devil. It's the prophecy of deception. I will give you the prophecy of truth. I will give you the prophecy according to the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. Let there be no mistaking. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. How true is that? How true is that? Because of the abundance of iniquity. Iniquity abounding. Oh, we have a problem with iniquity. Oh, you workers of iniquity. When iniquity abounds, it causes the love of the things of God to wax cold. I know from experience and from my own sinful nature in the past, when I would get deeply embroiled in sin, the things of God would be far from my mind. The word of God would get far. I would put it, you know why? Because when you're sinning, it's uncomfortable. It's not easy. You have to put that out of your mind or forget about it temporarily at least to be able to live in sin. And if you do that on a continual basis, if that abounds in your life, your love is going to wax very cold indeed. And not just the love towards God, but the love towards one another. When they see when this false Christ is set up and people are worshiping it and you won't join in, you know how unhappy that's going to make them with you? Very unhappy. Because you're like this festering sore, reminding them of their sickness, reminding them of their unrighteousness, reminding them that they are doing wrong. But they don't want to believe they're doing wrong. And they don't believe they're doing wrong. You're wrong. And their hatred will grow. And that's why eventually they're going to kill people over it. There's going to be a lot of killing. They to kill you will think that they're doing God's service. That's what Jesus taught. There's John 16. You know, the time is coming when whosoever kills you would think that they're doing the service of God. We are doing this for God. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. That's going to be preached by the action of the witnesses of God, the servants of God. Now, it talks about two witnesses in the book of Revelation. The witnesses are the candlesticks. The candlesticks are the churches. They are not, there are two representative of many, of the few. You know what I mean? What I mean is that I don't think of it as two, merely two. Any more than two churches is two people. Because they are the two candlesticks. These are the two candlesticks which stand before the God of the earth. The candlesticks are the churches. So those witnesses represent the pair. Jesus always sent his disciples out two by two. And he will send out his witnesses two by two. He will pair them off and send them out two by two. So that all over the world, people will see the two. Two. There'll always be two of them. Everywhere they go, two witnesses. Two, two, two. We have to endure to the end? Yeah, it's like I say, we're running a race. You've got to finish the race, and not only that, you've got to take first place. What, I got to beat out everyone else? No. You need to outrun sin. But I can't run. I don't have any legs. No, God is going to bear you on his shoulders. You just got to believe. Believe in the promises. Believe that God has given you the victory. David didn't go out to Goliath and say, I can't beat this guy. He didn't go out before the giant and say, there's no way I'm going to slay him. But he said, the Lord will deliver you into my hand with a sling that I have practiced and know he's going to deliver you to me. Because I'm confident in that. And God is going to practice us in righteousness so that we are confident we will overcome in the end. You know, he has taught me how to run with footmen, how to run with the little sins. In the time of peace, he has taught me how to walk uprightly, so that when the time of war comes, I will be able to walk uprightly in his sight. So that when the difficult times come, when the chariots are running, I can run with the chariots. I can outrun the chariots. I can outrun the horses. I can outrun the birds. I can outrun everything because God has made me swift. Because God has made me strong. Because God is bearing me up from underneath to carry me forward to victory. If you can't believe things like that, you have no business in the faith. Because you're of little faith. You don't have any faith. You need a little faith. At least a mustard seed amount. Just a tiny bit of faith. Do you have any belief at all? Do you have any belief at all? I believe Jesus was risen from the dead. Good. Now start from that. He's risen from the dead. Therefore, he is Lord over all. He is set down at the right hand of God. He's giving gifts to men. He's got gifts for you. What are those gifts? They are faith, knowledge, temperance, godliness, virtue, all these things he gives. He's giving gifts to us. He is gracious to us. Believe these things. You say you believe? Well, go on in faith. Let your faith grow into something more than just a seed, just a kernel, just a little word here, just a little scripture verse. Because otherwise, you'll come to the party and you're just going to have a little seed in your hand and nothing more. You need to have a garment. And he's providing the garments. He's providing the garments. They're not imaginary garments. They're not invisible garments. No, they're very visible. They're very nice. They're white and clean. They're perfectly clean, in fact. Not a spot. Not a spot. We've got to endure to the end. Can't run 10 feet, sit down. I win. I win. I'm not going to run anymore. That's enough. I'm going to sit here. You know what? I do have faith that I'm going to win the race. God's going to rapture me from the starting line to the finishing line. Isn't that awesome? I'm just going to believe in Jesus. Then he's just going to go snap his fingers. And he's going to rapture me into heaven. And I'll be at the finish line. That's awesome. I'm just going to believe that. And sit here and wait for that to happen. You're going to be like, you know, you think that kind of slovenly behavior pleases God? You think that kind of laziness? The scripture is filled with, there's a word in the New Testament that comes about diligence. Diligence, it means speed. Use a little speed. Put a little speed on. Put a little grease on. Come on, move it. You know, they're so lazy. They don't want to do anything. They just want to receive everything. I want to receive things that I can do. It's like in football. You want to receive something in football? Oh, give me a pass. But you run downfield and you catch it. There's things to be done when you receive. God doesn't just give things for us to have it, like the parable of the talents. He gave them talents, and the guy says, well, gee, thanks. I guess I should go bury this, huh? You know what the end of that was? Have you studied the scriptures? That the one who took the talent and buried it, who received it and did nothing but keep it, that God was not pleased with him, that he cast him into outer darkness, that he took away what he had and gave it to the one who had the most? He's going to take away what you seem to have